Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the Friday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance and Teaching Meeting, September the 1st, 2011. Jeremy Gee is the speaker of this service, teaching on shame. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Being embarrassed over your mother, your father, being humiliated by them. If they didn't cover you with love, the Bible says hatred stirs strife, but love covers a multitude of sins. If they didn't cover you with love, you were uncovered and made naked and exposed to the enemy. And so here comes Satan to cover you. First Peter says, be fervent in your love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. Some other causes of shame, sexual sin. Incest, homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, pornography, pedophilia, being molested. And the scripture for that is the one we read in 2 Samuel about Amnon and Tamar. The next thing is reproaching and blaspheming the Lord. Pride, trusting in your own fleshly abilities. Go to... Well, I'm not going to read that, but just put, 2 Kings 19:26. Therefore, their inhabitants were short of strength. If you want to turn there. They were dismayed and put to shame. They were as the vegetation of the field and as the green herb, as grass on the housetops is scorched before it's grown up. But I know you're sitting down and you're going out and you're coming in and you're raging against me. Because of your raging against me and because your arrogance has come up into my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I'll turn you back from the way that you came. Don't turn there, but put Isaiah 37:27, 2 Kings 19:20 through 26. That whole passage, I just read one scripture out of 2 Kings. It didn't sound like it applied, but... 2 Kings 19:20 above verse 26 talks about shame. Go to Psalms 31:17 and you see that the wicked are put to shame. Now you say, well, I've never been wicked. Well, your forefathers probably were. If we knew what's come down our bloodline, we'd probably be appalled. You'd be horrified. And so you are not wicked, but you've had wickedness come down your bloodline, and that would put you to shame. Psalms 31:17 says, let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I call upon thee. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in Sheol. And then those who hate the righteous, Zion, those who hate Israel, and we see that right now in our government trying to divide Israel, they will be put to shame. That's what the Word says. Go to Psalms 44:7. Thou hast saved us from our adversaries, and thou hast put to shame those who hate us. And, of course, we're the Israel of God. Psalms 129:5. May all who hate Zion, that's us, the church, be put to shame and turned backwards. Hallelujah. Turn them back, Lord. One thing that we're praying in our prayer group is those of you who have ponds and lakes and spring creeks on your property and water wells. I don't know if you live in the country like I do, but I saw a thing the other night. There's over 2,000 earthquakes ginning around the United States right now. I saw this thing where they were flaring up all over the country, and especially along the California coast and along the eastern coast. And right pretty close to Texas in Oklahoma, there was another one. And in Dallas and parts of Texas. And so we've been praying that as the earth shifts, that our water wells, where we've had red water, will be crystal clear. It's going to benefit the saints when the water wells shift. And that our ponds will not lose their water. They'll actually have more water. And this prayer, which has nothing to do with shame, but in our prayer group, one of the ladies, and she's the world champion, 2 times world champion barrel racer, she prayed, our trees in Texas look like they're dying. She said, Lord, let the water under the earth come up to the roots of those trees and water our trees. And Lord, all over the earth, we ask you to put a hedge of protection, a wall of fire, your warring angels around the saints all over this world, and loose angels to stomp out any fires in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God hears our prayers. And then hating your Christian brothers. Hey, you know what? You have to love me whether you do or not, and I have to love you. Because Jesus said you'll know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Isaiah 66:5. You want to turn there. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brothers who hate you, who exclude you for my name's sake. Do you have any family members that are excluding you because they feel convicted? You know, I've been thinking for years, what in the world have I done wrong? And the Lord's showing me Jezebel hates the prophet. Right? Not that I'm a prophet, but I do have a prophetic word. I don't prophesy like our sister Cheryl over here, but God does give me something every now and then. So Jezebel hates the prophetic. She wants to kill the prophet. So you might as well get used to it. You might as well just bite the bullet. You might as well just hang in there and die to it and accept it. Amen? And those who God rejects have shame. Psalms, turn to Psalms 53:5. There they were in great fear where no fear had been, for God scattered the bones of him who encamped against you. You put them to shame because God had rejected them. And then we get put to shame because we don't cleave to God's testimonies. Go to Psalms 119:31. I cleave to your testimonies, Lord, your word. Do not let me be put to shame. There's another scripture that says, those who hopefully wait for the Lord will not be put to shame. Do you hopefully wait for the Lord today? I do. Hallelujah. And then idolatry causes you to be put to shame. Jeremiah 10:14. It says, every man is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols. He takes that gold and he makes an idol and he's put to shame by it. For his molten images are deceitful, and there's no breath in them. The Bible says those that make idols become like them. And then trusting in idols. Isaiah 42:17, if you want to turn there. They shall be turned back and be utterly put to shame who trust in idols, who say to molten images, you are our gods. And I want to say this. We think, well, living in America, we don't have false gods. You know what your false gods are? You've got to love me. You've got to accept me. You've got to meet my needs. You've got to value me. You've got to appreciate me. Could it be our families and the people that we know that's rejecting us are idols? Could be. Do the old Abraham Isaac trick. Take them up the mountain and put a knife to them. I've got some I've taken up the mountain about 500 times. One of these times, I'm really going to mean it. Yes. Yes. Yeah. We keep dragging them back down. But I will say this. It's getting less and less that I'm dragging them down. Hallelujah. And then those who fashion graven images are put to shame. Go to Isaiah 44:9. Those who fashion graven images are all of them futile, and their precious things are of no profit. Even their own witnesses fail to see or know, so that they will all be put to shame. And you can read 10 and 11, says the same, you know, same thing. And then another one is Isaiah 45:24, those who get angry at the Lord. You know, if you've ever been angry with God, can I tell you why? Is you were angry at your mother and dad. Anger at God stems from being angry at your mother and father. I can say this by God's grace, and I'm only saying it as an illustration. When I was a little girl, my dad would say things that would hurt my feelings, and I'd go get in bed, and I'd start crying, and my mother would come in and comfort me. Oh, your daddy loves you. and then I would get up and go and ask my daddy to forgive me. Now, my daddy, all these years, would say of my two sisters and me, he would say, no matter what happens, Jerry will always tell you she's sorry before she goes to bed. That is the one reason I know that I've never been angry at God. Because I always wanted to please my daddy, and I always thought it was my fault. I always felt like everything was my fault. I was always blamed for everything. And I think that that happens in a lot of families, that you're the scapegoat, that, you know, your sisters and brothers can go rob a bank, but you're the one that you get, they blame you for them robbing a bank. Yeah. So, you know, so that sets a pattern. I was always blamed. If you say I'm always this and I'm always that, can I tell you that's a reaping? And that's a sets a default by the way we've been trained up in a negative way. We're going to be talking about defaults tomorrow at 3. So if you're angry with the Lord, Isaiah 45:24, they will say to me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him, and all who were angry at him shall be put to shame. So if you've been angry at God, you need to forgive your father. One thing I can say about my dad and mom, I always knew that they wanted the best for me. There was never any reason to be angry at them because they lived a sacrificial life when it came to me, except for my daddy's mouth. And like I say, he was having to manage me. Anyway, I'm doing better, okay? And then if you don't hopefully wait for the Lord, Isaiah 49, those who hopefully wait for me will not be put to shame. And then shame comes in through shutting your ears to God's call. Isaiah 65:12-14 says, I will destine you for the sword, and all of you shall bow down to the slaughter, because I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not hear. And this is one of the major reasons for hearing problems. Because you didn't listen to your mom and dad, so now if you didn't listen to mom and dad, don't tell me that you know what you're going to... Let me say this way. I used to have people in my church when I was pastor that would say, God told me this, and God told me that. And I said to this guy one day, God never told you nothing because you were rebelled against everything your daddy told you. If you were rebellious, or you shut your ears to your father's voice, or maybe you just grew up in strife where you just had to tune them out because you couldn't take it. It was a way to cope with their screaming, their yelling, their control, their perfectionism, their raging, whatever. You just tuned them out to cope, and you might be looking at them, but you clicked them off, and that opens you up to hearing problems. That's not the only reason, but God tells us to give ear, which means stretch your ear to hear the Lord. And I've been a Christian for about 50 years, and I still don't hear the Lord the way that I should. And I think Carla's message is going to help that, because I sometimes lack the confidence of what I'm hearing. It's not that I don't think God can't talk to me. It's that I think I might not have the ability to hear right. But I want to, and God honors our want to, because none of us are to the place where we need to be, any of us. And so, and then God says in the same passage, behold, my servant shall shout joyfully with a glad heart, but you shall cry out with a heavy heart, but you shall wail with a broken spirit. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. Hey, that's a word for these days. We shall have food, we shall have water, we shall be able to eat. He sets a table before us in the presence of our enemies. The first part of that, I'm going to read it. It says, because I called and you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not hear. And you did evil in my sight and chose that in which I did not delight. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. One world order. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. Glory to God. Another thing that opens us up to shame is looking to the world, to the Lord for answers. The answer is right here in God's Word for every problem that besets you. Jeremiah 2:36 says, if you want to turn there, "Why do you go around so much changing your way? Also, you shall be put to shame by Egypt," that's the world system, "as you were put to shame by Assyria." And then rejecting the Word of God puts us to shame. Jeremiah 8:9. "The wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, this is wise in your own eyes. They have rejected the word of the Lord, and what kind of wisdom do they have?" And then another thing that opens us up to shame is walking after the stubbornness of your own heart and after the Baals. One of the major roots to one knee problem is worshiping Baal. Two knees problems is what you're worshiping. Knees have to do with worship. There could be other reasons to your knee problems. I'm not saying that's the only one, but those are two things that have to do with knee problems. Baal could be bowing down to food. I've done that. Jeremiah 9:14, "But have walked after the stubbornness of their own heart and after the Baals as their father taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood, bitterness, and give them poisoned water to drink. And I'll scatter them among the nations whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I'll send the sword after them until I have annihilated them." And I'm just going to read the last verse, Jeremiah 9:19. "For a voice of wailing is heard from Zion. How are we ruined? We are put to great shame, for we have left the land because they have cast down our dwellings." Apostasy is another thing that brings us to shame. Apostasy is falling away from what you know. That would mean if you're a believer and all of a sudden you turn your back on God, and you fall away from the faith. The Bible says, First Timothy 4:1, "In latter times, men will fall away from the faith, giving heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits." And that's Jeremiah 14:3. "And their nobles have sent their servants for water. They have come to the cisterns and found no water. They have returned with their vessels empty. They have been put to shame and humiliated. And they cover their heads because the ground is cracked, for there has been no rain on the land. The farmers have been put to shame. They have covered their heads." You know, East Texas, where I live, and it's probably the same here in Arkansas, we're in the Bible Belt. And there's a drought in Texas, something terrible. The other day, I looked up all the scriptures on rain and repented over those. And then I started on drought and got sidetracked. But it says, because of a harlot's forehead, I'm going to bring a drought. And a harlot's forehead is if we are professing believers, and then our hearts go after another lover, we're spiritual harlots. And instead of having the mind of Christ, we have a harlot, a spiritual harlot. It could be physical harlot, but a spiritual harlot's forehead. And living in the Bible Belt with all these professing believers, I bet you in the last 5 years, when I always talk to the guys that take out the sacks of the groceries, I always ask them if they know the Lord. And I believe in the last 5 years in East Texas, I probably had maybe two people in all of the last at least 5 years tell me that they didn't know the Lord. Everybody else says they have, meaning they're a church member or they've accepted the Lord. But you know what? The fruit of the Holy Spirit in the scripture that Carla used this morning of 1 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new." And so apostasy. And Babylon will be put to shame, and that's the worldly church member, the worldly church, the church that Jezebel rules. And then people who trust in fleshly messengers, Zechariah 10:5, "And they'll be as mighty men treading down the enemy in the midst of the streets in battle, and they will fight, for the Lord will be with them, and the riders on horses will be put to shame." Now, horses represent flesh. "Not boasting in the truth, 2 Corinthians 7:14, if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I was not put to shame. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, so also our boasting before Titus proved to be the truth. Another thing is not coming through with gifts that may have been promised causes the brethren to be put to shame. 2 Corinthians 9:4. Lest if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we not speak of you should be put to shame by this confidence. If God didn't come through for me. Philippians 1:20. Or if I think God hadn't come through, he always comes through. But how many times do we accuse God of not coming through when he's coming through? You know what the problem is we have in our mind what we want, what we think, and God wants to bring us to the place where it don't matter what I want or what I think. I am called to be God's ambassador and to walk the narrow way. And you know, I'm discovering that it may be single file. You cannot bring people with you even though you want to. Another thing that brings shame is disassociating yourself from a so-called believer who does not obey the word of truth. Not disassociating yourself. 2 Timothy 3:14, and if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that man and do not associate with him so that he may be put to shame. Could that be we're trying to run after people that are disobedient to the truth, and we're in sin for trying to run after them when God says don't have nothing to do with them? And then showing yourself to be an example of good deeds, purity in doctrine, not doing this, not being dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, puts your opponents to shame. Not showing yourself as an example. And you know the worst thing anybody can say to me, and you've heard this too, you try to stand for righteousness, and then the demon in somebody says, if you're a Christian, I don't want to be one. That's the worst thing anybody could say to me. Have you experienced that? After you're trying to do what's right, you're trying to walk in truth, you're trying to walk in love, you're trying to walk with right relationships, or you go to somebody and say, you know, please tell me what I've done. I want a right relationship with you. There's nothing wrong. It wouldn't take a rocket scientist to figure out there's something wrong. Amen? You know if you're loved or you know if you're hated. You know, Jesus said that you're going to be persecuted. And it may be from family members. It may be from best friends. It may be from your mates or your husband. But if you've been like me in the past, you think, oh goodness, I must be doing something wrong. What'd I do? Anyway, showing yourself to be an example of good deeds. God wants us to be an example of good deeds. Purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, puts your opponents to shame. Tomorrow at 3, I want to talk about your tongue revealing what needs to get sanctified next. Because what's in your heart comes out your mouth, doesn't it? Praise God. So when something ungodly comes out, you say, well, I didn't really mean it. Oops, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. It's revealing what's down in your heart. Amen. and also falling away from the faith puts you to shame. Hebrews 6:6. And then after you have, let me go back to 7. For ground that, verse 4. 6:4, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away. That means a person that has professed Christ. I had a little girl call me the other day. She'd been into lesbianism, and I'm not criticizing her, but just to give you an illustration. She thought that she committed the unpardonable sin, and I discerned that she really had a heart for God. But she willfully got back into some sin. And I told her, it's not too late for you. As long as you want God, it's not too late. But when a person falls away, they don't even want God anymore. They've been given over to a reprobate mind. And you and I, we know people that have a reprobate mind. Hebrews 6:7, for ground, and we're ground, that drinks the rain which often falls upon it and brings forth vegetation useful to those for whose sake it is tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, worthless fruit, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Hebrews 6:6, and then have fallen away. It's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the God, Son of God, and put him to open shame. And then the last, there could be other things, but the last thing I have is not keeping a good conscience when others slander you will put those people to shame. 1 Peter 3:16. And keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you were slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. How hurtful it is to know that you've corrected somebody, maybe wrote a letter to them and corrected them, and you don't feel liberty to send the letter to anyone else, but you know they're lying to everybody they know about you. That's a hurtful thing. But that's something else we have to die to. And so, after we've repented of our sin, Joel 2:26 says, and you shall have plenty to eat and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who has dealt wondrously with you. Then my people will never be put to shame. Thus you will know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and there's no other. And my people will never, 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 never be put to shame. So shame comes down through the things we've talked about, through people breaking down our moral boundaries, through things that we've done, can come down generationally through the shame of our forefathers, through relationships which are shaming in nature and our own self-shaming thoughts and behaviors. And for us to get healed, we have to be willing between us and the Lord. And if He tells us to tell somebody else, we're to do it, but only if He tells you. But you have to be willing to say, devil, you're not going to blackmail me anymore if this man leaves me tomorrow. You are not going to blame me. You are not going to, even if he leaves, I'm going to expose what I need to so that never again can I be tormented by the enemy of my soul that wants to keep me under condemnation and keep me blackmailed. It's necessary to identify the fig leaves, and we need to know them before we can begin to even think about letting go of them. It involves dealing with the wounds of childhood and grief, asking God to heal our grief, asking God to gather us from all the places where we've been scattered, having a scattered mind. Bible says that deliverance, Jesus said, you're either gathering with me through deliverance or you're scattering. Some of the things that we do when we go to the world for answers, we actually get scattered. And the most important thing you can do is choose to love yourself, choose to forgive yourself, ask God to forgive you if you haven't already. And if accept yourself, even if you don't believe them, to say, I love myself and I accept myself exactly as I am right now at this moment, I put myself under the blood of Jesus. If I confess my sin, God is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. So I want you to stand up and ask the Lord to show you all the things that the devil is tormenting you with, the things the devil is using to blackmail you, and let the Holy Spirit of God lance those things. And be willing to be open and transparent, and then never again can the devil blackmail you. So, Lord, I ask you to search my heart. Show me everything in my life, Lord, that makes you sad, and let me know the truth that sets me free. Show me what makes me sad about me. Show me what has kept me from being an ambassador for you. Bold as a lion, your word says. Shame blocks your boldness. So, Lord, I ask for the truth that makes me free. I want to be covered with you, Lord, to emanate your glory and not be covered by Satan anymore. and with depression and torment and harassment and despair and hopelessness or unworthiness. Yes, fear of rejection. And to just sit down when you're through. Forgive yourself and ask God to forgive you. And forgive the people that broke down your moral boundaries, that raped you, molested you, touched you, treated you like Tamar, threw you away, treated you like you were unworthy. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Just sit down when you're through, but not till you're through. Don't rush. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I feel like the Lord's telling me that some of you are embarrassed, are shamed because of racial prejudice and the people that have hurt you like that. Can I tell you, God is no respecter of persons. It's a lie that anybody that God created, there's anything, the only thing that's wrong with us is what we've done to ourselves. But God says you're beautiful. He says you're valuable. He says He has a plan for your life. That you're His workmanship created under Christ Jesus unto good works. And we remove all the shame of people criticizing us because of our race. God, we thank You and praise You that You are so smart. You created us just like You want us. And forgive us for messing ourselves up in some areas. And Lord, we just repent of everything You've shown us. And Lord, I ask You to forgive me for everything You've shown me today. Pray with me. And I forgive those who violated me, shamed me, embarrassed me, criticized me, humiliated me, rejected me. God, thank You that you don't reject me. All You reject is sin, and You've made provision for that. Thank You, Lord, for Your precious blood that was shed on Calvary. Lord, I forgive my mother and father and forefathers for not covering me with love. And Lord, forgive me for the fig leaves I've made, the idols I've made, the mask I've put on, the things I've hidden behind. God, I ask You to forgive me in the name of Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Lord, I remove every lie in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, unforgiveness of self and torment, I cut you out of every life in the name of Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Lord, I ask You to sanctify their hearts so that all guilt, corruption, defilement, and sin will be removed from their heart. Cleanse their conscience from all defilement by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, forgive me for being ashamed of who I am. I get on Your potter's wheel, Lord, and I give You permission to finish the work. Forgive me for comparing myself to others. God, I ask You to cover my nakedness. I forgive every person who has even touched me in an improper way. Forgive me for touching others in an improper way. Lord, forgive me for incest, homosexuality, pornography, lesbianism, bestiality, pedophilia. In the name of Jesus, I forgive every person that's taken advantage of me. And Lord, forgive me for taking advantage of others. I ask You to start with Adam and Eve and let Your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life. Through sexual sin and the perversion of my forefathers. Forgive me for reproaching and blaspheming You. Forgive me for pride. Forgive me for wickedness. Forgive me for hating the righteous, hating my Christian brothers. And I forgive those who've hated me. Lord, forgive me for my sin, which would cause You to reject me. Forgive me for not cleaving to Your testimonies. Forgive me for idolatry, trusting in idols, fashioning graven images. Forgive me for being angry at my father and my mother. I forgive them, Lord. Forgive me for being angry at you. Forgive me for not waiting on you, shutting my ears to your call, and turning my mother and father off to cope with dealing with them. God, forgive me for going to the world for answers, rejecting your word, being stubborn, and my heart going after Baals. Forgive me for worshiping another God. Forgive me for apostasy, departing from what I knew to be true, backsliding. Lord, I turn my face to you now. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me for forsaking you, persecuting the righteous, and I forgive those who persecuted me. Forgive me for being a worldly church member. My heart going after other gods. Having a harlot's forehead. I just cut it off in Jesus' name. Father, I just bind their mind to the mind of Christ. I take 666 off of their forehead and I ask you to stamp them with the mind of Christ in the name of Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, for pride and refusing to humble myself. God, forgive me for trusting fleshly messengers and not trusting your word. Forgive me for not shutting myself up in my prayer closet. Forgive me for not boasting in the truth. Forgive me for not giving what I've promised. Forgive me for thinking you don't come through. That stems from, if you think God doesn't come through, I can tell you, you don't think your mother and daddy came through either. However you see your mother and dad, you're seeing God the same way. And that's a different message, but let me tell you, it's foundational things that you need to see, because you faint if you don't go to God. You have a fainting spirit. Forgive me for not disassociating myself from so-called believers who don't obey the Word of God. Forgive me for not showing myself as an example of good deeds, having a pure doctrine, being dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, which would put my opponents to shame. Lord, forgive me from falling away from the faith. Lord, I take accountability for, and I forgive those who have slandered me and talked about me and lied about me. Lord, forgive me for not keeping a good conscience when others have slandered me. Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the bastard curse, through shame, through illegitimacy, through incest. We break those curses back all the way back to Adam and Eve, the curses of illegitimacy, the curses of incest that go 2,045 forefathers. We break it in the name of Jesus. We break it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, Lord, I ask you to give them garments of diverse colors. I ask you, Lord, to release robes of righteousness. I ask you to cleanse them by the blood of Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut all the shame out of their spiritual gardens in Jesus' name. Out of their heart. I bind up their broken heart. I give them beauty for ashes. Fall of joy instead of mourning. A mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting. That each of these people will be oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And Lord, for their shame, I ask you to give them a double portion. I ask that they be a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord. Lord, I bind up their broken heart in the name of Jesus. I command wounded spirit, broken heart, condemnation, torment, shame. I cut you from their lives in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to take them up in your arms in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask you to bless Tom, that the word will go forth from his mouth like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to just release over them a spirit of adoption. And Lord, let them know, I remove the lie, they're not loved. I break the power of unworthiness. I break the power of condemnation. I break the power of pain and torment and grief and sadness and addictions. I break the power. I take off every fig leaf of alcohol. I take off fig leaves of sex. I take off fig leaves of food. I remove it. Cut it loose. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I break soul ties with every person that I have violated or anyone that has violated me, touched me inappropriately, and with all my forefathers. I sever every cord of control, linking their souls to mine. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now I want you to lift your hand like this and receive God's forgiveness, His blood poured out, and receive His garments of diverse colors, and receive the garments of salvation. Bless the Lord. All defilement has to go in Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord. Thank you. Bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.